This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. We're discussing the findings of the Guatemala Truth Commission on atrocities committed during the 36-year Guatemalan Civil War. The commission found that the government was responsible for 93% of the deaths and disappearances during the war. It also said that the government committed acts of genocide against the indigenous Mayan population. Important evidence came from formerly secret U.S. documents about the war. My guest Kate Doyle led the effort to get those U.S. documents declassified. She directs the Guatemala Project of the National Security Archive in Washington, D.C. I asked her to read from a formerly classified document, a 1994 cable from a U.S. defense attaché in Guatemala to the Defense Intelligence Agency headquarters in Washington, D.C.
During this period, that is the 1980s, the Directorate of Intelligence ran and coordinated all operations. The southern base itself has been used both as an operations center and an interrogation center by the D2. Small buildings on the base that have been since destroyed were used as holding cells and interrogation rooms for the insurgents. There were pits dug on the perimeter of the base, now filled with concrete, that were once filled with water and used to hold prisoners. Reportedly, there were cages over the pits, and the water level was such that the individuals held within them were forced to hold on to the bars in order to keep their heads above water to avoid drowning. One technique used to remove insurgents that had been killed during interrogation, and at times that were still alive but needed to disappear, was to throw them out of aircraft over the ocean. Aravas, a certain kind of airplane, were normally parked at the south end of the runway after midnight. D2 personnel would drive bound prisoners and bodies out to the waiting aircraft and load them aboard. The pilots were instructed to fly 30 minutes off the coast of Guatemala and then push the prisoners and bodies out of the aircraft. In this way, the D2 has been able to remove the majority of the evidence showing that the prisoners had been tortured and killed.
What does this document tell you about what the United States knew of Guatemala, and how does that connect to the United States' support of Guatemala?
This document, which was produced in 1994 but concerned activities of the 1980s, is just one record among thousands of records that the National Security Archive now has that provide unequivocal and clear evidence of the U.S. knowledge of the Guatemalan military's role in the atrocities in that country during the 1980s, during the 1990s, and before that. And I think what is most disturbing to those of us in this country who are only just beginning to understand the dimensions of our knowledge about the violence is that the United States continued to overtly and publicly support the Guatemalan government, fund the Guatemalan military, train the military through our international military training programs. During these same periods in which our advisors and our embassy personnel and our defense attachés were sending secret cables up to Washington describing in the most intimate terms the kinds of violence and atrocities that the military was committing.
From the American documents that you were able to get declassified, could you tell whether the United States actually funded massacres and funded torture, or were they just more generally funding the government, which in turn backed massacre and torture? In other words, how direct was the U.S. involvement?
Mm-hmm. It really depends on the period that you're talking about. If you look at the documents declassified about the 1960s, and we do have now some really extraordinary materials, secret and top secret cables, not simply from the embassy and the DOD, but from the CIA as well, it becomes clear that the CIA and the AID, the Agency for International Development, actually, which had a police program in Guatemala in the 1960s, were not simply supporting through indirect aid or training, but were actually helping to establish counterinsurgency and military intelligence units and design a strategy of raids and arrests and interrogation that did directly lead to some of the first forced disappearances in that country. In fact, the very first and most famous case, which was the disappearance of some 30 communist leaders, their associates and friends, took place in 1966 by a unit that was established and trained for that purpose by the United States government. So if you look back to to the early years of the war, I think there was a fairly direct involvement on the part of United States officials in the operations that the Guatemalan military carried out. During the period of the worst massacres, on the other hand, I think that what the issue was is that we had, for decades by that point, helped train these units and get them up and running who were now carrying out these massacres. But no, there's no evidence in the documents that agents of the CIA or officials of the United States government were sitting down at the table and ordering this or that massacre.
Now, as part of your work, you've also designed a military database. This is a database of information on the Guatemalan armed forces drawn from the declassified documents. What's the purpose of this military database?
One of the issues that the Guatemalan population is only just beginning to come to terms with now is their lack of access to information about their own government, and specifically in this case, the Guatemalan Armed Forces. If Guatemala is going to institute permanent civilian control of the military, one of the things that the Guatemalan civilians are going to need is basic information about what their military looks like and who runs it. The documents are unequivocal about the fact that the military in Guatemala is a strictly hierarchical structure, and that violence and atrocities were not committed by loose cannon individuals or members of the right that weren't under the control of the Guatemalan armed forces, but rather that the commanding officers, the senior level of the Guatemalan military, not simply knew what was happening, but ordered what happened. And because of that, we felt that any information we could give the Guatemalan people, the human rights organizations, the commission, military scholars, and so forth, about the basic structure, specifically the command structure of the Guatemalan military, who these individual senior officers are, where they were posted during the conflict, what they were doing, and what they were commanding, would help put tools in the hands of the Guatemalans to then analyze what was the role of these individual units and senior officers.
How did you persuade the U.S. government to declassify secret documents about Guatemala?
The collection, the National Security Archive, is actually made up of a number of different collections of materials, and some of them we got through the Freedom of Information Act, which marvelously is a law that we have in this country that provides citizens the right to gain access to information produced by their own government. But there are a number of other materials that came out that were declassified by the government in the course of these last few years. And I guess the most significant collection would be that which the U.S. government provided the commission in response to the Clarification Commission's own request to the U.S. that it support the commission's work. When the commission was beginning its investigations in 1997, it submitted a formal petition to President Clinton asking for support in the form of documentation. And lo and behold, after 5 or 6 months, the Clinton administration decided to release this material. I think their decision to do so came out of a number of factors, but one factor is that there was an immense amount of public pressure from human rights organizations in this country and internationally on the Clinton administration to get them to open their secret archives for these investigations into the past.
My guest is Kate Doyle of the National Security Archive. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Back with Kate Doyle of the National Security Archive, she led the effort to declassify secret U.S. documents about Guatemala. What do you think are the most important findings of the Guatemala Truth Commission?
There are a number of extraordinary and important findings that the Clarification Commission made in its report. I think one of the first that I should mention, and by the way, this was a finding that during the presentation of the report elicited both cheers and sobs and a standing ovation of some 5 minutes long. It was really an extraordinary moment. It was when the Clarification Commission, that is, when Christian Thomashot announced that the commission had found the military guilty of acts of genocide. That was an extremely important, earth-shattering moment for everyone listening and for Guatemalan society in general, because the army has been able to maintain a kind of false legitimacy through this, let's call it plausible deniability about its role in the violence for so long that although Guatemalan society knows perfectly well and knew long before the Clarification Commission ever came along the role of the military in the violence, to hear an official with the weight of a Christian Tomashat, the weight of the United Nations, the weight of the peace accords, stand on the stage and announce in absolutely clear ringing tones that the military was responsible for genocide was a profoundly moving and extraordinary moment.
What are some of the choices facing the Guatemalan people now? For instance, I mean, they could decide to give amnesty to the people who are guilty or to not even further investigate the names of the people who are guilty, or they could choose to prosecute people who are responsible for torture and genocide.
The most important step for Guatemalans today, I think, is to turn now to the judicial system. Historically, the justice system in that country has been very weak, often collaborating with the powers that be, including the military, not to prosecute responsible individuals. And I think one of the main challenges for Guatemalan society today is to reform that justice system and follow through with some of the basic criminal proceedings against the perpetrators of these atrocities. One of the most important cases before the Guatemalan courts today is the case of the assassination of Bishop Juan José Girardi, who was killed a year ago, almost exactly, after having presented the Catholic Church's own human rights report, which also identified the military as the key perpetrator of the violence. 48 hours after Bishop Girardi presented that report, he was bludgeoned to death by unknown men who still have not been caught, and this case is making its slow and tortured way through the Guatemalan system. Those kinds of cases now need to be addressed, and yes, perpetrators need to be identified and prosecuted.
I'm wondering if you were following the story in Guatemala in the early 1980s at the height of the massacres and the torture. And if so, did you think that the documents revealing the truth about the massacre and torture would ever be released?
Yes, like many of us in this country, I was following the violence. And no, I guess I can say that I never believed the United States would actually put these documents out into the public realm. And for that reason, I have to give some credit to the United States government for releasing this material. You know, the Clarification Commission actually formally requested documents not only from the United States, but from Argentina, Israel, and Taiwan, among other governments who had been involved in the country through aid and assistance programs to the Guatemalan military in the course of the civil conflict. The United States was the only country to respond. And as a result, if you look at the clarification report, the only country that is cited in any detailed way for its role in supporting this murderous force is the United States. So I think one has to, at a minimum, give a tip of the hat to the U.S., to the Clinton administration, for making the somewhat difficult decision to release documents that contained incriminating evidence about itself and its own role.
Well, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
You're welcome, Terry.
Kate Doyle directs the Guatemala Project of the National Security Archive in Washington, D.C.